Anger comes with an alarm. Okay. Rage doesn't. All right. So when we're starting to talk about aggression or violence, they can come out of anywhere and don't have to be precipitated by anger. And you made a great point about that. So I say, if we're going to define anger, let's talk about anger as being an emotion, and it's brought on by irritations, like a pearl coming from the oyster, right? You feel abused, or that you've been given unfair treatment, or a frustration. So when we talk about Shelley being 24 hours a day.
Welcome to the Left of Greg podcast. Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Left of Greg podcast. I'm Brian Marin, the host and creator of the show. As always, I will be joined by human behavior expert, Mr. Greg Williams, who the show is affectionately named after. Here on the Left of Greg show, our goal is to increase your advanced critical thinking ability through a better understanding of what we call human behavior, pattern recognition, and analysis. If you'd like to find out more about what that is, you can check the episode details. If you have any questions or would like us to cover a specific topic, please reach out to us at leftofgreg@gmail.com. Today we are talking about the differences between anger, aggression, and violence, and why it's important to distinguish the difference between them. During the episode, we get into a few examples of what we mean by anger and aggression, and we explain how recognizing the difference between them will help you determine whether a person is going to escalate a situation to the level of violence, or if they are simply having their say. Please don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find the links in the episode details. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please tell your friends about it. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy the show. All right, we got everything set up, Greg. We're going to go ahead and get started.
Perfect.
This morning, happy Thursday morning, as we're recording this before a big start to the chaos that always is this year, August, September, October, everything busy travel season for us. Yep. So we will be doing back-to-back this month. So if you're in Topeka, Austin, or Ann Arbor at any time during this month, you know, keep an eye out for us. You may see
at hubs,
there.
Airline hubs. That's usually where we're sitting
in the airport, you know.
Yeah.
So today we're talking about, in general, is, you know, the question sort of is anger a healthy emotion? But what we're getting into is, you know, distinguishing between anger, aggression, violence, what we mean by this. Like, we've talked about rage a lot on this podcast and what that means. And we always say, you know, when you get to that level of rage, there's really no stopping it. It has to sort of abate on its own. People have once you hit that point, but that's like the red line point, right? That's there's nothing higher than rage.
Explosion.
Exactly.
The person spontaneously combusts. That's like, only happened in the cartoon so far.
It's like when someone says, you know, it could lead to death or worse.
Wait a minute. That's Shelley's best line all the time. They were killed or worse.
Yeah. So it's understanding, you know, the big things too I want to hit on this discussion is when we talk about anger, aggression, and violence, is that someone doesn't have to be angry to become violent, right? They might not display what you would think was anger. And also the flip side of that, just because someone's angry doesn't mean they're going to be violent. There's people, you mentioned Shelley, there's people that walk around angry all the time.
24 hours a day.
That's their baseline. That's who they are. And they're never, like, Shelley's the last person who's ever going to do something, you know, outside of what you're supposed to do. She is, I mean, that's the last person I would think would go high and right? But she's angry all the time. That's just how she is. But it's good to understand these. So we'll get into each one, but understanding anger and aggression, violence, and even some of the psychological, sociological imperatives to this. Like, you anger, like, right off the bat, if you're just going to say, is anger a healthy emotion? My immediate answer is yes, but we'll get into what that means. Maybe it's no for you. I don't know, but
it is. Yes. It's absolutely.
And so what all this means. So where do you want to start? We want to start with anger and then kind of break it down to what each one means, or.
Right. And let's go topical, Brian, because we can dig deeper if we have to. A great thing on LinkedIn this morning, when I check my LinkedIn every morning just to make sure that I'm still alive, like looking for the obituary. There was a female that was talking about her Fitbit. I don't know what they're called now.
Wearables. You know,
And she said that she got to the point last week where the heart monitor was so annoying, it was bothering her, that she stopped wearing her Fitbit. and spent last night in the emergency room.
Yeah, there you go.
Why? Because that alarm is screaming for you. Anger comes with an alarm. Okay. Rage doesn't. All right. So when we're starting to talk about aggression or violence, they can come out of anywhere and don't have to be precipitated by anger. And you made a great point about that. So I say, if we're going to define anger, let's talk about anger as being an emotion, and okay, it's brought on by irritations, like a pearl coming from the oyster, right? You feel abused or that you've been given unfair treatment, or a frustration. So when we talk about Shelley being 24 hours a day, the angry one, it's absolutely true. But what is Shelley's motivation? I've known Shelley now for 40 years. And the idea is that she is always for the underdog.
Yes.
She hates to see people that are bullied.
Yes.
When there is frustration in the workplace, she has to come in and say, stop it and get back to work, because Shelley is all about everybody functioning. If there was ever a DEI human before this latest push for it, you know, from ancient Greek, it'd be Shelley. Because Shelley's like, okay, no, this is all wrong. This is the way it's going to be. And she doesn't mind saying it. See, that's the problem. There's a lot of us, Brian, that don't understand that anger is a healthy emotion. And it's meant for us to do two things, basically, overall. The one thing is to equivocate the wrong, okay? To name it, to face it, and to get rid of it, okay? Because it keeps coming up as, hey, a warning, right? Just like the bell I was talking about. The second one is so you can see that something is wrong and attend to it before you get to other levels, right? So there's a balance there. So your constant prodding of anger is to tell you to clean up thyself, physician heal thyself. And the opposite side of the same coin is that there's an environmental that you have to attend to, or it's going to continue to frustrate you. Does that make sense? That's the way I see it. And remember, folks, I'm not a fucking doctor. I'm just an idiot. But when I come up with that, to me, it makes a lot of sense.
And so anger as emotion can be brought upon by, you know, pain, right? It could be a mental, emotional, or physical pain. You do the Peter Griffin stub your toe, you know, you can get angry because of physical pain that you're in, and that anger will manifest. Yeah.
Exactly.
I went for 3 minutes in class doing that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And everybody still laughed the whole time. Nobody waited. They were laughing the entire time.
So that can manifest itself through anger, right? That some, as those emotions build up, but kind of like you said, that can be survival to based. I can get angry over some injustice and want to immediately correct it or correct it over time. You know, whatever it is, I can use anger almost as a fuel source in a sense as well as a human.
That's exactly it. And so, but it's a fuel source that comes with a tangible, and I don't want to use the word warning. Warning's a little too strong. Reminder. Reminder's a great thing. So anger, you know, I get up and I look at the house and the house is dirty and I'm, gosh, damn it. I was supposed to vacuum and put the dishes away. Well, what is that? It's a prompt. It's a motivator. It's a way for you to clean your own house internally. And then you go outside and you go, oh, that gosh damn neighbor's up to no good. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So clean the rest of the world. And if we didn't have these, that, see, that's the big ticket item when it comes to aggression and violence.
Yeah.
Aggression and violence are never useful emotions. And I say that with a caveat. Okay. If you're fighting for your life, it's good to have violence.
Sure. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Good to have a modicum of aggression available to you, you know?
And that's why
time to get
there.
that Red Bull and start swinging.
That's you're why exactly it's on right. board. Yeah.
But when you need it, guess what? Your body will tell you that you need it, you know? So if we would segue into aggression and violence, then we can unpack anything. I see it as very simply this, okay? There's a biological imperative to aggression and violence.
Yes.
For example, your brain's chemistry tells you it's time, okay? Or the other side of that coin is that you've been eating paint chips since you were a kid, and the implications of that were biology that tends to make you more violent. So you have a shorter temper, those kind of things. Because there are environmentals.
Well, that's even, you're talking about your brain telling you, your biology telling you, but that could be a corrupt file folder in a sense.
Exactly. Yeah. So then we talk about sociology, and you and I talk about socialization. And what we mean is that you learn through your life, like socialization with my dad. You've heard me talk about my dad a lot. My dad and my mom duked it out all the time. And I'm talking open fist. And we were a fighting family and we were a hitting clan. So if you, gosh damn it, you know, my Uncle Paul punching you, pay attention. Well, that would be socialization, Brian. Yeah. So that pattern of thinking or feeling comes from your life experiences. And then, you know, we always talk environmental. So environmental or situational factors, right? Those are characteristics in the environment. So everybody kung fu fighting, you're probably going to throw a punch. We're in Ukraine. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And there's fighting words. Do you see what I'm trying to say? And then finally, cognitive. So cognitive are those ones that we're trying to carry off into every part of our training. Cognitive would be those patterns, those beliefs, the things that emerge within us as a result of the interactions with our world. Okay, not just our family, not just my car, not just my job, but everything. And guess what? They accumulate over a lifetime, and that's where we get the stuff like the hate accumulator. You know what I'm saying? So that's cognitive, though, right?
It is because they become a powerful coping mechanism, almost.
Exactly.
Right. They become a way to see the world, to justify your beliefs or thoughts. You were wronged in some way, and maybe that was illegitimate, but a lot of times it might have been completely legitimate. Like you got screwed over, right? And then you maybe lack the adaptability, let's say, because who hasn't been knocked down a couple times in life for whatever through no fault of your own, you know? And then, you know, you lack that. So now you harbor that sort of resentment, that anger starts to grow, and then aggression can grow, could turn into violence, but you don't know what's underneath there or necessarily. And then because it becomes that cognitive bias, almost, you then see the world. Well, here's another way I was wrong. Well, then here's another thing that happened to me, and look at this, you know, and then now it starts to add up, and it's just confirmation bias. And so you continue to touch on that pathway.
So, okay. Your alarm was late because the power went out, and it went out in the middle of the night. So you wouldn't likely known it. So then you go outside, and you had the wrong set of keys. You got the wife's keys. You're trying to get in. The clicker ain't working. You see her car light up, or his, whoever. It's all good
or
with
both.
Me. And then, it's my house, right? The three-way. So then you get into your truck, and you try to turn it over, and it's going like, that starter's finally going. Well, what do? As a human, each one of those was prepared for me and dished up to me.
Yeah, today.
Because God wants, Buddha Vishnu wants to poke me in the eye.
Yep.
How do you think the rest of my day is going to shape up? With those, look, precipitating factors, fear, precipitating factor, anxiety. Here, we're talking your basic physical needs. You need food, you need shelter. And no, I'm not talking about that gosh damn pyramid. What I'm talking about is that, you know, you have a plan, and now nothing's fitting your plan. And the idea that nothing's fitting your plan, your mind immediately goes chemically to, well, nothing is going to for the rest of the day. So the first person you're about to walk in, what's that breakfast that you and Shelly liked I haven't had yet? The
Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A. So remember the Chick-fil-A near that one hotel in Virginia where it was just packed around and it was so loud? Okay. So we go in the door, and the first person in the door goes, hey, the line starts back there. Where do we take that? So now what happens is that leads to other things. Look, 9/11 has a traumatic portion for people that weren't even alive during 9/11, because environmentally, cognitively, they know something happened on that day with reading off the names and doing the bell. And then somebody showed them the pictures, and we can get trauma from that. Why am I saying that? Because anger is different. I can be angry over a whole bunch of different things, right? But that aggression and violence now all of a sudden pops up. Hey, you son of a bitch, and I'm beating a guy with a head wrap, and he's an Indian. You know what I'm saying? He's from Punjab. So none of those equate until we falsely or accidentally equate them, yeah? So our experiences, our ability to go out into an environment and have aggression and violence triggered by anger is probably the wrong way. Because aggression and violence are rarely constructive. Do you get where I'm going? Okay.
Right.
But it's a default that's so close to the top of the stack that we're going to go there.
So that's the issue. I like how you put it. So the violence and aggression as a solution is rarely ever constructed. However, it's so biologically necessary.
Yes.
It's always on your belt. It's always right there within arm's reach.
Yep.
And it's actually the closest thing. You know what I'm saying? Because you're primed for survival. Your brain Aaron's going, well, I might have to kill something. Someone might try to kill me. This could be the end of my life and the end of my family's life and the end of the human race. So I have to have that prepared in a sense. And so that's what makes this difficult, because everyone gets into it, and a lot of them are great. You know, we don't go into like the different coping mechanisms or what to do or how to do the TTP.
It's your job.
Stuff. Well, exactly. And there's a lot out there, and people can choose what works for them. A lot of that stuff doesn't work for me. I have my own ways, and that's actually the best way is to find you. So it's about getting to know you and your triggers so that you can figure out, oh, wow, I don't need to get upset over this, or this is what's happening over there. But it's all good. It's people focused on, but that's also sort of, I think a lot of them miss the point and they misunderstand. That's a lot of at bang thinking. That kind of reminds me of that article one of our listeners sent. You can check it out. We discussed it on the Patreon side, but you know, someone did some meta study. I don't know. It was one of those where a professor or whatever.
It was a really good study. Well, very small control group and a lot of conjecture.
And they talked. What they're talking about is, you know, how, you know, learning different anger management techniques actually got people better at focusing their aggression. And so it actually didn't work. It just got them better at fueling their anger towards a specific thing or person. So, which was an interesting, and I get where they're going with it, but what I'm trying to get at is that sort of that at bang thinking. It's like, okay, I'm realizing this now. And that's internal, you know, to yourself to know and recognize, you know, where you're at on that spectrum is if I'm already getting angry, and that's a time to take that breath. Because for us, it's a big one is that's physiological and psychological arousal that will cause. So you're limiting your performance at that time, right? The anger, the worse my cognitive performance is. Yep. So it's affecting you. But the other side of that too is identifying those things in others too.
So here's what I would like to do with you. And it's a thought experiment. And
okay.
We haven't prepared this, but I would like to say that we're talking about anger. We talked that anger doesn't have to lead to violence, and violence can be sprung from the well without ever getting angry. We also talked about aggression and violence. We put them in the same bag. I say that in a minute, we go to aggression and violence and separate those. It's a very simple separation just to make sure that every person listening can do exactly what you just said. We don't have to just see it as a trigger in us. We can see it in another person and then be warned. Here's the problem, and you brought it up perfectly. You talked about at-bang thinking. So listen, sham and scam artists that are still out there. Okay, when we talk about September 11th from a HBP RNA standpoint.
Yeah, predictive analysis standpoint,
I will bring up Ramzi Youssef.
Yeah.
And you'll go, who the hell is Ramzi Youssef? Well, that goes back to the first World Trade Center bombing, and it goes back to him working in the Texas pizza shop, and it talks about them planning a bomb, and while they were doing it in Saudi Arabia, a guy had rented a plane and was flying the plane, and he had it full of 55-gallon drums, and he was trying to show how big the blast could be, and a guy named Bin Laden and his construction company were watching. Brian, those are the precipitating factors.
Yeah.
If you do not understand those, you will consistently and constantly repeat your mistakes over time. And I think it's a parallel. You get what I'm trying to say? I mean, I think it's exactly how we think. We don't think, where's everybody else think? Oh, man, look at the towers. They're burning, and the firefighter and this. And then you're at bang. Okay. You can't get off of the bubble. And so what do? You keep repeating that same nightmare in your life over and over and over, don't you?
Right.
And so what we're trying to say is all of those other things, and you're going, yeah, but how do we put them together? Well, if you're alert to those subtle, nuanced things that are happening in your environment, you start going, hey, there's an explanatory storyline. It's an ML, which means I don't have to worry about it, or it's a most dangerous course of action, and holy shit, they're planning an attack, right? That's what we've got to do. So if you turn that same flashlight or laser on your own life, you'll be able to see, for example, aggression, verbal aggression, okay? We know people that are verbally aggressive all the time. They're constantly cut. We used to call it cut, chop, slice, right? And we would just say that so that person would understand that they're being verbally aggressive. Okay. We also know, even in our former company, people that were relationally aggressive. What does that mean? They were bullies. They were just bullies, and they were constantly in cliques and backstabbing and doing all that other stuff. And if you weren't part of the group, okay. And then you brought it up, the psychological, okay. I'm using guilt as a weapon. I'm going to isolate you and make you feel inadequate. or the physiological, the physical aggression, okay, where I break something in order to intimidate you, or I hold something back from you that you should have, or now we're starting to actually touch and kick and everything else. Those are separate from violence, because violence is intentional injury. That's my primary goal. I am coming in with the idea that I'm going to start knocking shit around. So those two things, rarely constructive. Anger, always constructive. And if we built a timeline, we could use different instances to say these things are weighted more heavily and need to be looked at as pre-event indications, and these don't, right? You get where I'm going with that, you know?
Yes. And so that's, again, you know, because you brought up a few points. You brought up a few points in there that are kind of important to hit on too, because, okay, you know, whether it's the, especially with aggression and maybe how people speak, you know, a lot of times, sometimes they don't even realize that they're doing that. Right. So my wife used to call it when we kind of first started seeing each other and stuff like that. She's like, you can't talk like that. I was like, what? She's like, you get this, your Chicago voice and your family, and you get loud and you kind of do that.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not. She's like, I realize that now. But like, I have this reaction from her past experiences where someone starts talking like that and it's very serious and they're being angry and mean, where I'm just getting animated about something. And I was like, oh, okay, right. I got it. And so then I recognized that when talking, I was like, oh, okay, like, cool. I don't have to do, like, it made it clear to me. Now, I at no point meant anything. I was just being Brian, but she was, because of her experience, you know what I mean? Went, oh, I don't like where this guy's, the way this guy's talking to me. This isn't happening again.
And you used it as an internal and external motivation. 100%.
And it was, okay. And but part of that helped it, how she put it. She's like, well, you get your Chicago attitude. And I was like, that's kind of funny. You know what I mean? Like, I see what you're saying. Like, you get to a point and then you're like, hey, what's this fucking guy's problem? You know what I mean?
or the coppers. Remember, we did an episode a long time ago. There's a lot of coppers, and pardon my vernacular, but there's a lot of coppers out there to get to the point where they're full and go, hey, fuck this guy.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's when it's on. And that's when it's on. That's when
that's
the violence starts, right?
That's when things go wrong.
Exactly.
And then you don't realize. The next person showing up there doesn't realize that they think it's something much more serious than
it
is. So there's an overreaction.
The flashlight first. Exactly.
And that's where this
But that's
comes
what we're
from.
Talking about.
Exactly.
So can you imagine, and this is for all our business folks out there, and we don't think about it because of the lenses of law enforcement work and first responder and military. If you go into a meeting and go, hey, let's kick the tires and light some fires, you're talking about arson and you're talking about violent aggression. Okay. And what do we say? We say, okay, Tom, let's put that on a punch list. And Mary, okay. Do you see what I'm saying? What you're doing is you're assimilating verbal aggression into something, but your intent is different. Your intent is to motivate and to get people focused and do that. But what you really don't understand is you're actually fanning the embers of emotion that could lead somebody adversely and affect them. To going violent. So you got to rehearse that, buddy. You really got to rehearse
and that's why,
right?
We boil it down to a very simple, people want their say, not their way, right?
Exactly.
Most people want to get something off their chest. They want to complain to the manager. They want to tell you that why, you know, what you're doing to them is wrong or unjust or something.
Yes.
You know, that's what they got to get. And my, you know, me, my big thing is let them, you know what I mean? It's like, okay,
exactly.
Go on. You know, go on. Yeah, that sucks.
Yep.
And I understand that. So, but
that's also a de-escalation strategy, Brian, because what you're doing is you're adding the gift of time and distance into what could turn aggressive. And that, everybody, listen, that's a good cue.
Yeah.
Because the second part of the coin Brian just gave you, if we look at the obverse, the flip side is this person acting up or is this person acting out? And that's a huge one to compare with that.
Because like we just said, okay, it's like, I could imagine listening. It's like, hey, you're talking about anger. Great. That person's angry because this happened. They feel something. They were wrong. Okay. That's
slighted,
fine.
Wrong.
There's nothing wrong with that. But if I come in with the wrong response, that might lead to now aggression. And now if that continues, that aggression may turn into violence. They may actually act out. Right. They might actually want their way now, not just their say. So it's and I know people listening are kind of seeing where we're going with that. But what about that sort of the opposite? Because I brought it up at the beginning is, you know, you don't have to be angry to become violent. You don't have to show any type of aggression prior to becoming violent. And that's also sort of the other side of that coin where we miss it, right? Maybe the yep. first stuff we were talking about is where we can accidentally contribute to a situation yep. where it can start to escalate, or we're not realizing how much we're escalating the situation, or we're watching that happen. But then the other one can be hard to identify. It's like, well, wait a minute, this person seemingly came out of nowhere and committed this right. violent act, but right. they didn't look mad. They didn't look good. They weren't aggressive. They spoke kindly to the person at the front desk and then walked into the back office and killed everyone.
Exactly. So let's define that. Let's put that on that yellow pad, Brian. Aggression doesn't always involve violence, but violence always involves aggression. If we understand that, now we're further separate anger, aggression, and violence. And so aggression for this part of the discussion is confrontational behavior. And so we have impulsive aggression. It wasn't planned, heat of the moment. We have planned aggression. Tomorrow I'm going to go in and smack Billy and take his lunch money. Or Tommy and Jane always had the best lunch. I'm going to steal shit from their lunch. Okay. So now we have two sides of the same coin there. Then we have direct and indirect. Direct, I'm calling you a name. Hey, Slim.
Come yeah. here. Beard, hey, buddy.
Beardsley. Yeah, you get what I'm trying to say? And what does that do? Man, now you're starting to get people going. Like, I told you that one time on a plane where I told, like, hey, partner, let me get ahead of you here a second. And he stops and gets in my face and says, yeah. I'm not your partner.
Well, yeah, that, okay, that's, the one that's the one I heard about, buddy. It's like, it's for three things. It's like talking to a dog, talking to a child, or talking to someone about you're about to fight. Hey, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like that. So,
and then the indirection. Like Andrea used indirect aggression, and she's a PhD now.
Yeah.
Andrea used indirect aggression for 25 years. And you know what that was? That was her rolling the eyes and making gestures, make you feel uncomfortable. And when I would tell her to do something, her entire body would do the limp, yeah. like, I can't do it. Okay. So, if you understand that it's direct and indirect, and you understand that it can be impulsive, compulsive, planned, okay, then you can control it. That's the key. The key is it's not easy to control, but if you can control your aggressive outbursts, then you can't lead to violence, right? You can snip that. Now, violence is always going to involve aggression, and that's when you know, because you start pumping your chest, and you start leaning your head out, and you start showing your teeth. Why? And people go, those are anger cues. Yeah. But yeah, those are anger cues. You're yeah. way to the right side. And I think that's what we're really talking about, Brian, is we're talking yeah. about. So how do you tell where you are?
Yes.
Along that spectrum?
That's because, you know? that can be somewhat subjective per person, yes. right? We just talk about, well, wait a minute. If Shelly's angry all the time, then where's her line at, or where would I know?
There's never aggression.
Yeah.
There's never. But, she's loving, and people go, oh my God, she's the best mom.
Yeah, everyone else says she's an amazing, she's loving, exactly. kind
human. So they don't have to fucking work for her and be afraid of her all the time. No, but she gets the job done, but she's not going to take lip. She's going to call you on BS, right? But Brian, there's never been the aggressive. I mean, I've seen her get aggressive when people are bullied and she steps in and goes, not
yeah.
today.
Yeah,
okay?
Exactly.
All right. But that was because she had to choose that path, because there may have been violence. You see the way that works? It's like paving stones, right? Once you pave those stones, okay, you can go further across the lava. And the lava is always hot. It's always waiting for you. Violence is always there. There's never been a meeting between two human beings. They call making love, Shakespeare, the beast with two backs. Why? Because it's a violent encounter. And most times, certainly is with me, for the love of God. But the idea is that what happens is there's the potential for violence and aggression in everything we do. Why? Because our early selves had to manifest those as a survival mechanism. So they're still on board. Maybe they're buried deeper. Maybe it's the princess and the pea, Brian, but they're there. And anybody that doesn't think that they're there is full of shit. So that's where they have to go back and assign the value to themselves in life. We saw the Pope slap that woman. Do you remember that?
Okay. Yeah,
so if somebody doesn't believe that you could get ramped up into that level of aggression or violence, then you're wrong. But it doesn't have to be brought on from anger. Do you remember Joe Pesci in whatever that film was?
Yeah.
That was screwy at the drive-thru, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you know what he didn't do? He didn't do what that lady in Philadelphia did a while ago and drive back in and shoot the person because they didn't give her enough of the ketchup or whatever the side was. Read the articles, folks. Do your own research on this and get out there and see. There are some people, because, and this is my theory, Brian, because they haven't been trained with alternatives, because they don't understand there's alternatives that are going to go flash to bang.
They don't either. They either haven't been taught, you know, or they haven't learned through life that there's other ways. And then also the environment really, really plays a massive role.
I absolutely agree. The
actual physical environment and sort of like the mental, emotional environment. That's why you see a lot of this stuff happen on airplanes where people act out of control, because once you put, you're literally locked in this fucking aluminum tube, you know, not going anywhere, that immediately adds pressure to the situation. I mean,
you can't get up and walk around when you want.
That's what I'm saying.
You've got to ask the person next to you every time you want to, right?
These outcomes are forced by the environment sometimes because there are no alternatives. So mentally, I'm thinking you're on a plane, like you can't go anywhere. You can't just walk away and take a breath. You can't leave the situation. So you're locked in that. It was the same thing with COVID and the lockdowns and putting all that pressure on societally without people realizing. It's like, that's when you start to see those stress fractures.
We're still seeing stress fractures from COVID. And I'll call out the airline industry. You're not doing anybody any favors by having the overservice, Chantel, the overservice of alcohol in the airplane. And that's coupled with what you drank on the ground already. Now we're at 30,000 feet, Brandon. What do we always say?
Yeah.
Problems don't get easier at 30,000 feet. Those are things you got to solve on the ground. Brian, do you ever have to call coppers on the ground for a disorderly conduct that gets out of hand? Well, you can only imagine it's going to be exacerbated on a plane. So there's certain times. That's why traffic, too. What do we have? We have our mobile fiefdom, our car.
We're
driving down the freeway and somebody pulls in front of us and we say, thou hast now taken an aggressive posture against my vehicle. And we all turn into to Neanderthals. We have to understand there's a very small barrier in film between our primitive selves and our current self. Brian, when I hear people go lizard brain and monkey brain and all this other stuff, it's stop. You're going in the wrong direction. You're reading the wrong books. You're you. You've always been
you.
Okay. But the earlier forms of you didn't have the critical thinking,
didn't have
the reasoning. And so I would add one to yours. I would say environment, nature, nurture, get it. I would also say the person didn't learn those skills, wasn't exposed to sense making and problem solving. And I say that PTSD, a traumatic injury, specifically a traumatic brain injury, can turn people violent. I've seen people laugh at inappropriate times.
Right.
I've seen people that value the situation that they're in, Brian.
I've seen
people that take just a person saying, excuse me, as a challenge. And a lot of times that can be due to that closed head injury.
Well, and some of the stuff, I know people listening are like, we get it. I've seen that, or people get upset. Okay. It's sort of like the so what? And it actually goes right back to what you brought up at the beginning, is seeing these things at a very simple, almost white belt level.
You got it.
Because that's how you recognize it when it's the serious situation where intervention is necessary or you need to leave but you see it before it happens. Because I go back to like a lot of the stuff I post on even social media on our Instagram and stuff like that. Like people are like, oh, so you're saying these people are doing something wrong? I was like, never said that. Reread the fucking post. But the idea is you can articulate behaviors in a sterile, benign, general environment. Then it's easier to see them. They become obvious when it's not that situation, right? So if I can articulate it here, and that's kind of what we're getting at, is that we forget those things, right? How many times do you drive a car and you're not angry and you're totally fine and you've been doing that your whole life, but you don't know that the person next to you at that stoplight, they're at some completely different level for whatever happened.
They're full. There's shit spilling around all over inside of that car, and you don't know it.
Everywhere. And it's a good way, that we teach or that we talk about or stuff that I use even to understand people is that person that you're running into. It's like, man, when someone says something or get upset in a situation, it's like, is this person's cup full or are they just they ran here and barely got their connecting flight because because the airline booked it that close, and they're just trying to get their stuff away, and the flight attendant's already yelling at people. You know what I mean? Like, what are we dealing with here? Is this the guy that's going to go off on everyone and start swinging, or is this just this is about to abate and it will be fine? And those points are what we're talking about in the moment to identify. Is that when I look at it from that point of, is this person's cup full? What else have they shown? What are they demonstrating? What are they teaching me? Right? What are they trying to say to everyone? Is it saying that they're making this bigger than it is? That means it's bigger to them than the situation.
That means you're underestimating how big it is. Right? So make a circle, and if you've got the bio on there, and if you got the social, and if you've got the environmental, then you've got the cognitive. The idea behind those, and again, environmental, I feel more comfortable calling that one situational, because it doesn't have to be just the environment. It can be the situation within that environment, right? That's why I'm pausing on that one. But if you put those on a board and you just circle them on your yellow pad. So here's a limited objective experiment for all the cops. Next time you show up on a person that's seemingly out of control at the mall or on a street or at a bus stop, what I want you to do is do the following. Try this. Go up and go, "Hey, chief, calm down here." Yeah. Okay. You're going to have to calm down. And you might as well, on the other training lane, throw gasoline on the flare, right? So we know that you're going to accidentally, intentionally, inadvertently, deliberately cause some turbulence just by your arrival. True?
Yeah.
So this is what we're trying to talk about, that can you, like, de-escalation. Again, oh my God, de-escalation and duty to intervene. We keep hearing it shoved down our throat. A good de-escalation strategy is de-escalate always. Always be de-escalating the situation.
De-escalation isn't, you know, a tactic, a technique, a procedure. It's an outcome, right?
Always be considering de-escalation, right?
Yeah.
With you. Okay, I got to broach a topic. This afternoon, I'm going to go to the beach and roll around with my rubber band size thong, and I'm going to get shit-faced. So I'm not going to make the 1 o'clock and the 2 o'clock. Well, before I even get to you, I'm going, man, is Brian going to be pissed about that? Those things, those environmentals, Brian, are where we can de-escalate. So if I'm showing up at a scene and I'm already looking through the windshield and seeing the guy dance around with a shovel and go, hey, look at this asshole. Yeah. Here we go again. What am I doing? I'm setting myself up for an escalative likely outcome. So I'm changing the dynamic of the situation. So all I'm saying is biologically, you have to understand certain factors are in play. Sociology has brought you to this point. Cognitively, you're looking at this from your worldview. And then environmentally, you're saying situationally, this is going to go poorly or well. With just those four biases on board, can you imagine how wildly you can spin out of control? So what do you got to rehearse for? You got to rehearse for that specific event. No, I don't mean the guy with the shovel. Yeah. I mean pulling up and saying, holy shit, my cup's full. You know, how am I going to understand your cup that's spilling all over this, you know, restaurant where you're, you know, parading around? You get it? I mean, it's really that simple. And I know you understand that, but how do we get the people listening to understand that it really is a simple series of triggers that can turn on or shut off the anger / aggression / violence earlier? And that's the goal.
It is. And, you know, you've seen me do it before, but like sometimes my technique is like, I'm going to give someone enough rope to hang themselves with. Yep. I'm going to give them an out, because what you do when you do that and you allow them options, you'll know, because most people, if they really want a good outcome, they'll take it. They'll take an option. They'll say, okay, like, you know, I'll take one,
I'm short of rage or violence,
but that's what I
have options.
What I'm saying is that if they choose not to and they keep going, now you know that they have some other intended outcome here.
Yes.
And they're not complying, or they're not taking that sort of extended olive branch, in a sense, like, hey, look, I understand, you know, when I say I understand
Over
here, absolutely. When you continue to escalate after multiple times, well, now, you know, okay, this is now a situation where this person is going to act out. They're likely going to do something. They are, you know, it's escalated past the point. So yep. And what I'm getting at is then that helps you kind of realize where's the one where I have to jam on the gas pedal, and where's the one I have to slam on the brake.
And those extremes are so essential in training. Yes. And I'll give you an example. When I ramp up, and you've worked long enough with me, you know that I get to the point where I say, is there anything I can do or say that is going to lower the level of anxiety in this room? Because I got to tell you, I'm getting afraid. I don't know what's going to happen next, right? You know that I enlist the aid of everybody in the room. The person goes, yeah, leave. And you go, well, I didn't call me. I can't just leave. I'm here now. And now the person goes, yeah, well, that's bullshit. Well, I understand, but I've got, what are we doing now? Give the time and distance.
Talking.
And when we're talking, we're not swinging, Brian. And the problem is that we're still on this gosh damn timeline. That woman didn't listen to her alarm, right? Because the alarm was telling her something was wrong with her heart, and she ended up in the emergency room. You, copper on the street, if you're not listening to those alarms from the environment, Brian, the environmental alarm from not just the person, but saying that, come on, let's get this over with. No. If you continue to press the time, okay, and you're not looking at time as a gift, then you're going to be in a trick bag fighting for your life, okay? It rarely occurs, but there are times that you'll show up where flash to bang has to happen, and you have to show up, get out of your car, and shoot somebody, or show up and run them over for the betterment of society, but they're so rare, they make movies about it. So,
right. No,
that's the balance.
And that's always the balance. And this comes down to, you know, this is the, I guess, another element to rage, anger, aggression is time, right? So time
and
is,
timing.
Time well, and I, timing. What I just totally meant agree. Like for you know, determining an outcome or for looking at any of these situations, time is always a critical component, because if you can, like you just said, escalate a situation by trying to decrease the amount of time, but over time you get a more accurate observation, right? The longer I can observe something, the more accurate my observation is going to be. I can gather more artifacts and evidence, right?
And more experiments.
Well,
you can try more angles. Yes.
And you can't stay angry forever. You know, I know we make the joke about Shelley, but like when someone's angry in the moment, you can't physiologically stay that way for
And this is a different type of anger. If we classify that anger has different thresholds and different levels, this expressive anger that you're feeling over the domestic violence situation you're involved in or whatever else is quite different. And it can only go forever.
No, it can't. And so in a sense that time is on your side in a lot of these, anything emotionally charged too, like, you know, those emotions can't run forever. You're going to get tired and pass the fuck out. I mean, you can't maintain some physiological level.
And what do we give kids? Brian, you're always saying that what we learn, the most important lesson we learn on the playground. Yeah. And when we're kids, what do we get? We get a timeout. So is it ever okay to throw a white towel into a brawl that's going on and going, hey, let's give a timeout just for a second. I need to know who everybody is. Okay, now what we're doing is going, hey, you know, is there a different way? I love trying new strategies in scenarios. And you know me, I love to lead with comedy rather than anger or violence. And sometimes it hits a 90 percentile with me, and then 10% it falls flat. And I know, okay, try again. But what does that give you? Exactly what you demonstrated. You could sit on the stand, Brian, and go, I apologize. This is the ACLU calling me right now and saying, I disagree with you. The idea is that, how do I ring mute that there? So the idea here is that, and it wasn't a joke. We love the ACLU. I'm just saying the phone call caught me off guard. What you were saying is that you can actually take and testify to, listen, Your Honor, at this point, I tried this strategy.
Yeah.
And the strategy failed miserably. Yes. And then I tried this and I saw that, you know, there was an inkling of understanding, but the person kept their, you know, level
they
off,
chose.
Whatever.
They
right.
chose.
So they continue to choose. Yeah. So it's not Plinko. I joke about Plinko all the time.
Right.
And when I joke about Plinko, and it goes randomly wherever it's going to end up. That's life, yes, but that's not the scenario you find yourself within. You can largely control the scenario you find yourself in. What's the difference with cops? Cops are thrown into scenarios that the average person would never consider. I walk into a house, there's two people dead, and the subject got the shotgun in his mouth. You get what I'm trying to say? And now go. And they're clicking the timer. Well, you don't often get that as a citizen, yeah?
Yeah.
So we have to understand anger, and we have to understand the ball that is anger, and that anger can exist on its own and never go to aggression. We have to understand that aggression can never lead to violence, but we have to have the understanding that in all instances of violence, there's going to be aggression. So if we know that, then we can work backwards away from the X, Brian. And the further left of the X, we have the gift of time and distance to de-escalate. And that's what we're talking about. If you fully understand the concepts, and let's even take that back. If you rudimentary understanding. Yeah.
Yeah.
That word seems so odd. All the situation, the basic understanding of the situation, you put it as white belt. Then you can avoid situations that are angry and aggressive and violent and navigate life without ever getting into a scrum. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you're looking for a scrum, you don't want to watch our show anyway, right? I mean, that's a funny
part. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, you realize where you're at. And that's when you're constantly training responses, then you're
what are you doing? You're priming yourself. A psychological inevitability you're going to use your stick or your gun or... I totally agree.
So if you're not constantly, you know, training for how do we make this a better outcome? How do we talk through this? How do I, you know, what strategies can I implement? What can I say or do right now versus, you know, this is the checklist of response that I have. I mean, that's part of the reason why you see a lot of the stuff that you do, right? It's just the function of how we approach these problems.
Spot on.
And it's obviously... So it you know, very reactive and not, you know, when we look for, we don't give ourselves potential outcomes that may not be obvious, right? I can say, well, you can make something up in the moment is better than relying on something you learned can sometimes help. You get what I'm saying?
Yep. I know exactly what you're saying. The concept of tactical freeze was born out about the conversation you're just having. And I've had tact freezes in combat zones with people where we had to take a knee under fire and go, wait a minute, is this the best decision? And people throughout my career have criticized the tact freeze. Very small number of people, Brian, and they're always the same type of person. I don't want to get into that.
Yeah.
But I remember being on Benning, being at 1,000-meter line and calling a tact freeze, and a person that's very powerful comes up and goes, well, you're not going to call that in combat. And I go, well, actually you can.
You can.
And then I remember when we were talking about Hoberman and beginning Hoberman with our Milo strategic partnership and doing shoot, don't shoot. And people going, well, you can't call attack freeze on a shooting. Well, as a matter of fact, you can. It's called controlling the op tempo.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you can't do that, Brian, then you need to back the F off because you're in it. And then guess what? Then it's, not a chess match or a checkers game anymore, then it's the fight for your life. But you can't go into every situation as if it's the fight for your life. And people are going to disagree and go, well, you have to be prepared for anything. Yeah, but you're controlling the op tempo. So if you walk in every time with a mouthpiece in and your brass knuckles on, of course you're going to be fighting. You're going to be dropkick Murphy. You're going to have the gosh damn chip on your shoulder 24/7, Brian. And guess what? You invoke the name of Candyman 3 times, he shows up.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I mean, that's simple math, right?
No, it is. And I think that's kind of what we're getting at with a lot of this and sort of, in a sense, you know, having an acceptance that these are human emotions that play out. And when seen out of context, that's also something that's normal in a sense, right? Some humans have to act out and act a certain way and get society has to say, no, that's too far over there. Or nah, we're not.
That's why we have laws. That's why the code of Hammurabi. That's why we have the Supreme Court. Exactly.
So not all of them, you know, not all of them are catastrophic, but they can potentially be based a lot of times on how we handle those situations.
Exactly.
And,
right.
And you know, what you're trying to do psychologically with a human. And then, you know, someone say, well, what if it's this person? What if they have, you know, this issue or that? It's like, yeah, well, then that'll become apparent. And exactly. That'll be obvious, and you'll know, like, okay, well, because this person
experiments will fail, right? Yeah. So isn't life a series of, and I'll use sociological experiments, but it's so much more than that. And that's what you're going to able. And look, you're not going to cure halitosis, but handing the guy a breath mint, that's what we're talking about at the moment, is going to de-escalate the situation for both of you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to make things less uncomfortable. And then maybe you can get somewhere. So be the breath mint, you know?
You gotta have a lot of confidence to turn down a breath mint.
You gotta.
When someone offers me a breath mint or a piece of gum, I always take it. I'm just assuming they're trying to.
Well, I feel the same with phenacyclidine, PCP. If you're going to hand me some bladder acid or whatever,
I'm going to take it.
I got to know where this goes. But the idea is, listen, if you've listened this long, you understand we are on to some good stuff there. It's up to you.
Yeah.
If you're in the situation doesn't always revolve around you, but it includes you. And therefore, you have an influence on that situation. It can be positive or negative. So understanding the simple functions of anger in society and how it's a beneficial emotion, yet anger and aggression, okay, when they start filling together, they start leading toward that path of violence, right? I like that. I also like to know that violence can spring up full grown without any anger whatsoever. And that helps me understand where aggression comes in as a trigger. And I understand that sometimes I can control that, Brian. I can control it in me, and I control it environmentally around me, or I can choose to avoid. And you know what the easiest thing for our non-copper, non-first responder friends? Avoid it. Avoid it at all costs. When you're seeing that Chernobyl start to glow,
yeah,
it's F and take the A train, man. Get out of there.
Yeah, there's so many situations, especially like with my family or something like that, where it's like, all right, well, let's go down over here, just get some distance. I don't know, this guy's probably nothing, but this person's arguing in a place he shouldn't be arguing. So
exactly. And they're alone.
I'm just gonna go sit over here and exactly. get some distance. And you know,
they've
what
got
I mean?
A lantern and a hammer, and they're yeah. wearing nothing else, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But that was you me. Know what I mean? Sometimes it's that obvious, right?
Well. It certainly can be. And when right. you're looking for the right thing or understanding it, like even with some of the terms we were talking about it today,
yes.
it becomes more clear, right? It just understanding.
That's why you got to yellow pad that shit, buddy.
Because that's why, like, I do it with the insurgent all the time, because the best. Because, you know, she's a kid, 11. So, like, emotions go up and down. You know, she's has to act a certain way as she grows. You know what I mean? So I understand all of this going in. So it's identifying. Is yep. this really an issue? Is she acting out? What's going on? Does she feel like she's not getting enough attention because we got the new baby here? You know what I mean? Though it's just so yep. I play with it. I'm like, wow, she talks back and I'm like, that sounds like it's got to be the worst thing that will ever happen to you in your entire life. And she just gives me that look like.
Exactly.
She, you know, she drops and exactly. deflates because she knows like right. she's making a big deal over nothing. And I go, but if she keeps going, okay, this is a big deal to her. What are the What
so
are the
now
underlying
I
issues?
Have to change.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And so it's that back and forth. And kids are the best because their reactions are slower, right? They haven't. It's like lying. Like when you see a kid lying, yep. you see it. It's like watching it in slow motion because they don't know how to do it well yet because they haven't developed it over time like adults. So it's like it's always good to watch because it's like their emotional response can happen a little slower. So you can see it.
Right.
And that way when with adults,
it
might
helps
be faster.
You learn, doesn't
yeah, it
yeah.
might be more subtle. So yep. so I always throw those examples in there. But
so are yeah. you telling me that you want to sure. just at a whim, you want to get various people angry on the street and then talk them down just as an experiment. Is that what you're going to do today?
I'm not going to deny that that's happened before in the past with people
saying,
hey, you got to amp people up and then get them back down. As some like, or I've had someone say, hey, go talk that meth head down while he's
that's
tweaking
great.
In the gas station. I'm like, yeah, I don't think it's going to work. Well, let's see how good you are at this stuff.
Exactly. Oh, you think God. You're good?
Here go. We go. Here we go.
It's on.
Hey, don't worry. I'll shoot him if it gets weird. It's like, that's not making me feel more comfortable. So you can do those limited objective experiments if you know what you're doing, I guess. I would
predict likely outcomes before you start
not to do those. knows, but
if your entire life has lived in MLCOA, you're probably going to be okay. If your entire life is in MDCOA, sooner or later, man, the house has the advantage.
It's a matter of time. That's a way to look at it. All right. Anything else to add onto this, Greg?
I'm happy with what we covered, and I think we gave a lot there. Folks, it's up to you to unpack. We can't chew the food up and spit it in your mouth.
I'd love to take
a look at what we talked about. Let's get some feedback.
We can. That just costs more. We can mom and bird. This is a good one where I'd love some feedback or questions on too. You know, I'd be like, hey, because I know someone's gonna be like, hey, well, what do you mean about this or what about this situation?
We
love those questions especially when it's very contextual and someone says, hey, when I've seen something like this before, those are great because you can then
totally agree.
We can go down that bullet point list of everything we discuss and say, see here. And then you get that epiphany moment to go, oh, okay, now I get it. And now if it's your story, like you'll remember that going forward. So please reach out leftofgreg@gmail.com. Other than that, it's going to be a busy month for us. So thanks everyone for tuning in. If you're enjoying the show, please, again, share it with your friends, tell them about it. And we would appreciate that very much. And don't forget that training changes behavior.
That's all for today, folks. But if you'd like even more content, you can head over to our Patreon page. The link can be found in the episode details. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, follow us on social media, and please tell your friends about the show. Thanks for tuning in, and thank you for your support.